com, talking sports around the rail with the coach and Wani Wan. And Wani Wan, I guess the big topic of conversation going on around professional baseball today is Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, it's probably not just professional baseball. It's probably all the sports right now with Shohei Ohtani's huge signing with the Dodgers. They signed him to a 10-year, $700 million deal. $700 million, so $70 million a year for one player. You know, that's big-time money. That's a franchise, probably almost a, you know, what a franchise is worth. So it's a huge signing. You know, I honestly thought he would go for about 500. Well, I was thinking about 600 million before he got hurt. But then he got hurt, like in July of this past season, and he can't pitch right now. He had another elbow surgery. And so I was like, he's going to lose some money. Maybe he might go to 500 million. Again, we put this into perspective. The largest ever baseball signing was Mike Trout, a good like 5 years ago. He signed for 450 million. So I knew he was going to pass his record because he's a two-way player, you know, hitter and pitcher. But I didn't see it going up to 700 million. He almost doubled Mike Trout's, record-breaking deal. So it's the highest ever in basketball, highest ever in baseball, highest ever in football. It's actually even the highest ever in sports ever. They compared it to soccer. You know, soccer players actually make the most money worldwide. It's the largest sport worldwide. So the players that make the most money play in the Premier League in England. And I think it beat their average when they converted it by like 5 or 6 million. So it's the biggest, contract in sports history. And, you know, the Dodgers made a big swing. And let's see if that swing comes through and provides them with the championship that they've been going after.
$700 million.
$700 million.
To play 162 games?
Yeah, half the year you're playing. You know, of course, March is spring training. April till September, 6 months you're playing baseball. And then if you're good enough, your team makes it to the playoffs and you play in October. So, but I mean, if you play all year, I mean, you're playing 8 months, so you got 4 months off. So yeah, it's 700 million.
But baseball players don't get, major league players don't get paid during spring training. They pay when the season starts. So 6 months of baseball, $700 million, which means essentially you being paid over $100 million a month to play baseball.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
$70 million a year.
$70 million.
$35 million every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So can you picture on the 1st and the 16th him walking into the bank and depositing a $35 million payroll check?
I'm pretty sure they didn't give him a check. When they pay him, they're not going to give him a check. They're just doing a deposit, a wire transfer. You know what I mean? Okay, so the bank will have to approve. Hey, all right, he's getting $20 million today. You know, are we going to approve this deposit into his bank, or what are we doing? You know, but
you're sitting at home, playing with your dog, playing with your wife, playing with your kids, deciding which Ferrari you go drive. And you got $35 million every 1st and 15th being put into your bank account.
Yeah. I don't think it's $35 million, but $70 million, what, divided by 6? Because they just get paid during the season, right? During the 6 months?
Well, that's technically what the players get paid, but, you know, they structure their contract. The smart ones where they get paid year-round. You know, Walter Payton had a contract where he got paid $250,000 for the rest of his life after he retired. So, you know, and, you know, we go get a little bit down the road. You know, Bobby Bonilla, as far as Major League Baseball player, nobody knew it, but he had deferred payment where he getting about $1 million a year for the next 20, 30 years. So he was a pretty smart man. You know, they don't think the black players got no sense, but he was pretty smart. His agent's pretty smart because a lot of these players, you look at Leon Spinks and Michael Spinks and George Foreman, they make all this money, but 3, 4, 5 years into their career, they broke. They filed a
bankruptcy. Yeah, yeah.
And they don't realize the money come in now, but you got to live off that money down the road. So they had the present sight to realize, I ain't going to spend all this money right now, so let me defer these payments Well, I give him time, and Bobby Bonilla, my man, set for the rest of his life.
Yeah, like you said, I believe he was, if he wasn't the first one to ever do it, he was the first one that made it popular. Because he gets $1 million, he gets it every July 1st. July 1st is my birthday. They call it Bobby Bonilla Day. He gets $1 million every July 1st. I believe it's until 2035. And he did this back in like 2000. So he got it for like 35 years, $1 million a year. He's like, all right, you're not going to pay me my whole salary right now, but you're going to pay me $1 million a year from the Mets every July 1st. And like clockwork, every July 1st, he gets that $1 million.
But see, he was thinking ahead. You know, a lot of these guys don't have that money. So I think it was Evander Holyfield that built a mansion, a 10, 12, 15-room mansion, about 20 bathrooms, and never got to live in it because he had to file for bankruptcy.
Yep. That ain't living smart.
And that ain't living smart. So, you know, Bobby Bonilla, somebody in his brain, walking through that brain, and he has had, wait a minute. Now, I might be out of this game in the next 3, 4 years or 5 years. Yeah. I may have a short-lived career at the end of the day, and I got to eat.
Yeah.
Feed myself, pay my bills 10, 20 years down the road. So somebody got in his head, and he had the present sight to say, okay, I need something so I don't have to work. I don't have to go to work and push a 9-to-5. And ain't nobody gonna hire me in this game because I'm black.
Yeah.
He didn't say that anyway. So I ain't gonna wind up on ESPN. I ain't gonna wind up on none of the sports shows. So I gotta have something to sustain myself. And he had the present mind, $250 out of this contract defer, X number of dollars out of this contract. So I'm getting all this money coming in for when I'm in my 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Right.
And then I put me a pension in place so I get me a pension at the end of the day, too.
Right. That's what the smart guys do, man. They think ahead. They don't just go and, like you said, go out and buy the Ferrari, buy all the flashy jewelry and all that stuff. They plan ahead and, you know, they look for their future.
So Bobby Bonilla set a trend. And Shohei, he got $70 million a year for the next 10 years. And somewhere in that mind of his, or his agent or somebody, he got some good advice somewhere. He said, well, y'all just pay me $2 million a year right now.
Yeah.
All I want is $2 million out of my $70 million a year, and we'll defer the rest.
Yeah.
10 years down the road. So I'm staffing like my kids set, my kids set, my kids set, my wife, girlfriend, whatever he got, they set for the rest of their life. Another $68 million, or technically that other $698 million is due.
That's what he's doing. He's deferring $68 million every year. So he's going to pay $2 million for 10 years, which is only $20 million. And then the rest of the $680 million, he'll be paid $68 million every year after he leaves the Dodgers, after his contract expires. Which it seems crazy, but it's actually really crazy smart because he wants them to be able to afford other players and them not be strapped and just paying him to where they can't afford other players. So due to the collective bargaining taxes, I believe it's like $46 million a year or something like that. The Dodgers have to put $44 million a year in an escrow account, and it only account about half of his contract will account towards their taxes and the rest will not. So, you know, he was really smart with it. And one of the big reasons why he did do that is I believe he's the biggest endorsed player in MLB. I heard a number about he makes about $45 million a year just from endorsements. So just from his endorsements, he makes $45 million. So he knew he could live off of that and, you know, just try to win baseball games.
So, you know, even the good books say, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So what happens if he dies next year? Having all that money.
I don't think he'll get the whole contract. I don't know what's written in the baseball contracts, but I'm pretty sure if your services aren't given, then you're not going to get paid the rest of it, I don't think.
He might have a guarantee where his family get it, his foundation, his trust get it.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure how that works. But baseball is a guaranteed contract, though. But so, like, he has two elbow surgeries already. What if he needs another third one in 2 or 3 years? What if he blows out a knee? What if he blows out Achilles? And man, you know, you're a sports guy, so your athletic ability deteriorates. So what if in 5 or 6 years his numbers just aren't that great? Well, the Dodgers are still stuck on the line to pay all that money. It's a guaranteed contract, so they got to pay it.
So with all that money, you just go buy him a new knee, a new elbow, a new arm. That's all.
Well, he could. I mean, the Dodgers will pay for it because that's their investment. But I'm just saying, you know, you never know what could happen with an athlete. You know, some guys just fall off the wagon. Most of them stay there, you know, but some guys could just, you know, fall off the wagon. But we'll see what happens. Makes things interesting.
And how old is he now?
28. He might even get another contract, you know, because he's 38. Some guys play till they're 40, 41. I think Pujols was 41 when he retired last year. So he might have 2 or 3 years left after this contract expires.
I hope he got some skills left at the end of that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, the crazy thing, another thing that I seen that I thought was crazy that he built into the contract was he can void the deal if either Andrew Friedman or the owner Walters is not with the Dodgers anymore. So if the Dodgers get sold in 2 or 3 years, he can void the deal. Or if Andrew Friedman, their CEO of baseball operations, if he gets fired or leaves or whatever, then Shohei can void the deal. So a lot of times that doesn't happen where you can void the deal. Well, you have that clause written in your contract. You'll have that written in just to say, hey, after 4 years or 3 years, whatever, if I want to leave, I can leave. But you don't usually see that language in a contract where if an executive is not with the team anymore, well, after that season, I could leave.
They paying me $70 million. I don't care who ain't there. I ain't going no place.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I ain't going no place. Like, why am I going to leave? Like, $70 million? Come on.
He can put another $300 million of his endorsements on there and buy his own major league team.
Exactly. Because to me, some players do that because maybe they had a down year or weren't doing so well, so they couldn't get the contract they wanted. Manny Machado just recently did that. He had $300 million, like a 10-year, $300 million deal, but he had an out clause after 3 years or 4 years. So he outed that clause, and then the Padres gave him a bigger contract, gave him more money. So players do that to get more money, but they won't do that just because this guy is not running the team no more. So I don't know.
But is that greed?
I don't know. Maybe he just loved the conversations he had with them, the direction and everything that they told him. And so they're like, I'm down with their plan. You know, as long as they're here, I'm here. But I don't totally know his whole reasoning behind that. But to me, if I'm a player and somebody's going to offer me that much money, I'm going to take the money, man. Like, take the money. Like, he ain't doing anything illegal. Like, it's a job, you know, but it's a very expensive player, definitely.
I love to be his agent and get that 5% commission.
Yeah, exactly. That's agent a record deal,
gotta,
man.
Agent ain't got to work no more the rest of his life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, Hotay, you need an agent? I need your agent. I come. 2%. 2%. That's yeah. Like 1%.
Right? So I'll carry your bag. I'll carry the ball bag, the bat bag. I'll carry everything. But there's a couple other things, too, Maiden, that I found interesting. So the baseball franchises based on Forbes this year, the Yankees are worth $7.1 billion. The Dodgers are worth $4.8 billion. The Red Sox are worth $4.5 billion. The Cubs are worth $4.1 billion. So that's the top four franchises. So the Dodgers gave Shohei pretty much a contract worth about 15% of their franchise value. I did the math earlier. The bottom three, the Reds are only worth $1.19 billion. The A's, $1.18 billion. And the Marlins, $1 billion. So the Dodgers gave him a contract worth 70% of the whole Marlins franchise. The Marlins are worth $1 billion, and they signed a guy for $700 million. So that's almost like buying a franchise, you know?
The A's are worth over $1 billion?
The A's are worth $1.18 billion right now, yeah. Even though they're in a, you know, bad situation, but they're honestly, once they move to Vegas, their value is going to skyrocket. You know, they're going to be worth a lot more money.
So Major League Baseball ain't losing no money is what you tell them.
Ah, no, they're not losing no money. But to compare to these franchises, like you pay one guy $700 million and this whole franchise, all these 26 players, all the minor leaguers, all that stuff, they're only worth $1 billion and this guy's worth $700 million. To me, that's crazy. Just in comparison, you know?
Well, to the Dodgers and those other teams, he's worth $700 million. Because I'm telling you right now, if Michael E. Mayton owned the team, you ain't getting no $700 million. You ain't getting no $700 million if I own the team. I don't care if I'm the A's and I lose every game in the season, 162 games. That's gonna be $700 million I'm gonna have going into the treasury for. And then if y'all don't understand this, supposedly the Dodgers had the best team in baseball this year. Is that correct?
They record wise, they didn't. They were in the top. They won 100 games, but they weren't the best.
They ran
The Braves had a better record. I thought they had a better rounded team.
Okay, but the Dodgers was in the top three or top four.
The Dodgers were the best last year. The Dodgers won 111 games last year, franchise record. So I think last year they had a better team. This year I think they won 100 or 102, something like that. So they were there, you know.
So what round of the playoffs did the Dodgers make in it out of this year?
First round.
They went out in the first round.
They got the bye, then they got swept by the Diamondbacks 3-0.
They went four games and out?
Three games and out.
I'm sorry, three games today.
Yeah, the division around is three games and out. They did the same exact thing last year. So that might be part of the reason why the management is like, dude, we got to do something crazy. We got to get some new blood in here. Because last year they set the franchise record, 111 game wins, and then they lost in the first round of the playoffs. They didn't even make it to championship series. They didn't make it to World Series. This year they did the same exact thing, but this year they got swept.
And you're going to go out and spend $700 million for one ball player. And you had the best team / best record the last 2 years, or right there among the top for the last two seasons, and you couldn't get out of the first round?
Exactly.
You couldn't get out of the first round.
If it was me, I would have went and got two or three pitchers, because that's what they needed. They ran out of pitchers. They had no pitchers.
And then on top of that, they supposed to have this great team. They supposed to be this great Dodgers team. Yeah, the year that's predicted to win the World Series. And the only time they done won the World Series since I don't know when was during a COVID season when wasn't nobody in the stands, and they won a default World Series title. Yeah. Ain't did nonsense. You gonna spend $700 million on one ball player? You could have brought you 10 ball players for that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I mean, we got to give them credit because, I mean, all 30 teams had a chance to win that COVID year 2020. And like you're saying, they only played 60 games that regular season. So it's kind of like a half championship. Their last championship before that was Kirk Gibson. When Kirk Gibson hit the home run, I think it was 81. When Kirk Gibson hit the home run. Like 1988.
Okay, so that was over 30 years ago.
Yep.
Okay. And you go... Okay, again, $700 million for one.
It's crazy. Year.
You ain't won a World Series in almost 30 years. You've been one of the top teams for the last 3, 4, 5 years record-wise in Major League Baseball. You couldn't get out of the first round or last two rounds. You won a World Series in a 6-game stricken COVID season. And you spent all that money, and you already got a payroll. And supposedly, the best ball player in the game, Mookie Betts. And I guess now Mookie Betts moved to the second best because Mr. 70 Million Man is going to be the best.
Yeah, you know, and 2 years ago, they signed Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman is one of the best first basemen in all of baseball. Acuna was the MVP this year with the Braves. And then the second and third place for MVP was Betts and then Freeman. So you got Shohei Ohtani, who won the MVP. In the American League, and then you got Betts and Freeman, who were second and third. So this year, they'll have first, second, and third places in the MVP voting.
See, they need me in the front office for a major league team. They need me in the front office. Because, see, the first thing I've learned in coaching 40 years, you do not win with the best talent. You need talent to win. You need pitching to win. But you got to have a chemistry. You got to have that chemistry of ball players that work together, play together. And that's not always the best talent out on the field. It's the best chemistry.
Yeah.
That's what wins you ball games. And that's the mistake. I started thinking about this. They would go out and try to get a big name to put on the roster. I guess to boost the attendance, this, that. But it did not enhance the chemistry of the team. And this is why they faltered over the last couple of years. They had some and some not decent ball players, but they did not have a chemistry. And it boiled over last year when it came out that the culture, the locker room culture, just was terrible.
Yeah.
And basically right. that says that the chemistry, the morale of your team, they're not functioning as a unit. Everybody's on their own page, their own agenda. And therefore, there's no real, when you got chemistry working toward the same goal, that's an agenda to win. That's a hunger to win. I mean, whatever it takes, I want to win. I mean, you could see it after a while. I would scratch my head and say, something missing about this team. You got a game, you should win and get away. You just didn't have that fire. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's something, the chemistry ain't there.
Yeah.
The chemistry, yeah. I've seen it as a coach, and I would say it. So, yeah, Mr. 70 Million may have been a good catch. I'm going to call him, you know, we had the Bionic Man, the $6 million man. That's the 70 Man. That's his new name, 70 Man, 70 Million Man.
Yeah,
he might have been a good catch, but does he bring the chemistry? How does that enhance the pitching? Because you still need pitching, you need defense, you need offense, and you need all working together in units as one to win.
Yeah.
Now, I know, you know, when you go to tournament ball, they call it travel ball now, but tournament ball, and you got a good team, and, you know, you'd always wink, wink, add you a player or two to the roster when you got ready to go off for the tournament. But
bring
you
a ringer in.
You called it a ring. I didn't say that. But you would look for an impact player. You didn't just get a player, just put him on the roster, because you brought in impact player, because when you say impact, number one, he was somebody that's going to come in and play. So he was going to take somebody's starting job that was already in your starting lineup, but he had the ability to affect the team on a positive side as far as winning. Either it was a pitcher, it was a hitter, a big bat, or it was a defensive player that stabilized your team. It didn't make the difference when you had a kid at shortstop that couldn't pick up a ground ball, couldn't catch a cold out there.
Right.
Could hit a pregnant woman in the belly with a beach ball at the plate. And you go bring him and put him on the team when you already got a team full of those.
Right, right. You know, you ain't bringing in a body. You bringing in an impact player, like you're saying.
Impact player. And Mr. 70 Million might be an impact player, but over 162-game schedule, I don't know that he can be that much of an impact. And more importantly, when the season counts and you get down to playoff and postseason play, you know, as the Diamondbacks proved and the Texas Rangers, although the Rangers have a pretty good team from start to finish, it comes down to being hot at the right time, because some of your guys that carried your team, Mr. 70 Million, when you get in playoff, he may get into a slump.
Yep.
And usually the stars of the game hit a slump. And, you know, you carry, you had Kyle Seager. He was consistent all through the playoffs. Marcus Semien led the league in hit all year, but the first couple rounds, he went into a slump.
Yeah.
Wasn't getting the hits, but then at the end, in the World Series, he found his stride. He came back around, was bolstered the Rangers' offensive output, which pushed them over the hump.
Yeah.
I'm concerned that you go get a player for $70 million. One player.
Yeah.
Well, I could have got two, three, maybe four players for $70
million. Yeah. If I was them, I would have picked a one bat and two pitchers, because they lost all their pitchers. I think they were down to two starting pitchers this past year due to injury, and then also they lost one of their players to domestic violence. He got in trouble. You're crazy.
He did.
Yeah, he beat up his girlfriend in public, and it was the second time he did it. So they suspended him indefinitely. Something. To me, I think part of it is probably marketing. They have to do it because of marketing, because when you sign Shohei, you're getting all of Japan. You're getting all of that area and stuff. All them guys are going to buy your jerseys now. He actually broke the record, the 48-hour record for the most jerseys bought in history for Fanatics. I think it's Fanatics who sells the jerseys. It was a 48-hour record, and it was Lionel Messi, the soccer player that we've talked about in the past. He had the record for the most jersey sold. And once the Dodgers signed Shohei, he broke the record in 2 days. So it's got to be part of marketing. They know they're going to make more money from TV deal. They know they're going to make more money from merchandising. Ticket prices are going to go up. So, you know, they're going to make it up somewhere.
Yeah, them West Coast Hollywood people, they finna pay some more money for them tickets. TV rates will go up. Now, let me ask this question. Did he know he was going to the Dodgers all the time? Did he just play a media hype game by going around to these other teams? I mean, you know, I think the Cubs and Yankees probably would have been the only two legitimate teams, money-wise, that could have went at him and with the big enough market to make it up. But, I mean, right. You know, he was with the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Was he going to really come to a cold weather climate?
Yeah.
He got a chance to go to the Dodgers? So did he really, was that all the rest of that just PR hype?
I seen his interview, his press conference, and he said he did make the decision the day before. But I don't really know. I know there was a big report a couple of days before he was going to Toronto. He was going to go out there and fly out there and talk with them. But I do know LA, he's familiar with the area, like you said, because he was with the Angels in Anaheim. But LA has a really big Japanese community, too. So they were actually the first ones to sign a Japanese player. Hideo Nomo came in the 90s, early 90s. And that was one of the big reasons why he went there to LA. They had a big Japanese community. So he's there. He fits in. You know, you think about a player that literally picks up and goes to the other side of the world to play baseball. You know, you have pressure playing ball, but then also behind the scenes, how to live, you know, where you're staying, the culture, the food, everything. It's all different, you know. So I believe that was probably one of the big decisions why Shohei decided to go there or stay there in LA. Because they have a big Japanese community, and he's already familiar with the area. I'm not too sure how big of a Japanese community there is in Chicago or New York, or I'm sure in the bigger cities like them there are. But Toronto, I don't know if they have a big Japanese community in Canada.
I don't know about that either. But okay, let's talk about this media hype, because I understand that you got a show that comes on every day. You got to fill airtime. You got to have dialogue and conversation back and forth. But I mean, I just had to turn off my radio and TV when I hear all the sportscasters making a big deal that he signed for $70 million, only go take $2 million out of it, and that he go avoid taxes, and the Players Association going to have to fix that so that can't be done. This is business. This is business. It was allowed for you to write off 80% of your income in taxes, you go do it. Why am I going to pay 80% in taxes if I can write? This is this. And, you know, these people, they get on radio, they TV, and I have to turn it off. They make me so sick talking about how he exploited the system to only take $2 million. Will he pay taxes in L.A. on the other $68 million? Will he get away with taxes? Slap me.
They're business.
Stupid.
They're business. Yeah, yeah.
But
he's staying within the rules, you know.
That's what I'm trying to say.
He's not the first guy to do it. A lot of guys do it. Max Scherzer, actually, you know, Max Scherzer, this past season, he got paid by three teams. He got paid from the Nationals, the Mets, and then he got traded to the Rangers. Because of his deferred salaries, he was getting an income from three different teams. So, honestly, a lot of the players, they defer salary now. You know, it's been going on for 30, 40 years when Bobby Bonilla started it. So, you know, why complain about it now?
But you got the major networks and all the local sports shows. That's all they spent time talking about, his deferred payment. If he gonna have to pay taxes in LA after 10 years, what? Since most of them that's making real money, they got tax shelters and tax deferments, but they on their show acting like this is a big deal. This is why TV has become so much hype, so much false. I know what somebody means to a certain extent when they say fake news. It's the Chicago media, and I looked at some of the national sports networks on TV, and that's all they made a big deal out of, the fact that he had circumvented the Players Association agreement, taxes for the state of California, that it just wasn't right the way he was doing. I mean, like I say, most of those in the sports field is making real money, $1 million plus. They got tax shelters that they involved in to keep from paying taxes. and they just make issues out of nothing. And for people that don't know, they get all riled up over this and they take the social media because they just trying to give a narrative to get the audience going. And it's all propaganda. It's all hype.
Yeah, that's kind of where our media is at right now. I mean, that's not just in sports, that's in everything, in politics and, you know, whatever it might be. The media throws something out there and then they try to get people to run with it and, you know, think crazy and just put things in people's minds that probably really isn't the truth. You know, it might be a small version of the truth, but, you know, they make up things, like you're saying.
As my brother-in-law say, they're telling a slanted truth.
Exactly.
And that's exactly. Why we got somebody that's running away with that thing, fake news. And it gives life to that because a lot of what you see and hear in the media is propaganda. It's no journalism today. It's no search a story and put facts out there. Somebody say something, they put it on the news.
Yeah.
So, Mr. 70 Million, he the man right now. He the talk of the nation. The biggest sports
he's gonna be. In the world. He's going to be the next 3 months. You know, wait till spring training opens up and then opening day. And then actually this year, I believe the Dodgers open up with a 2-game set against the Padres in Japan. So I think this is the first year that the MLB will be playing a couple regular season games in Japan. And that's where they're going to be playing at.
Oh, joy.
Yeah, so that might be part of it too. You know what I mean? Dodgers want to be like, all right, this guy's going to be our guy. He's our player. Imagine those ticket prices. You know what I mean?
But how do you really, I mean, I don't understand what the sports world is going with these salaries. I mean, I've always maintained owner not going to pay you what you don't have. So that lets you know the real money that's being made. And you said a franchise worth the lowest end of the spectrum out of the 30 major league teams is $1 billion.
The Marlins are worth $1 billion. Yeah. That's what Forbes projects them to be worth, $1 billion. Yeah. The crazy thing is I seen one franchise. It was the Arizona Coyotes. They're not really doing well. They're not in a good financial position. They were worth $650 million. So Shohei Ohtani's MLB salary was worth more than the Arizona Coyotes' whole franchise. They're a major they're a team in the National Hockey League. They're a major team, you know?
I mean, I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. I'm trying to wrap my mind around $700 million to one player, $70 million a year. Even if you took in the taxes, when he got through with taxes, he's still walking out of there about $30 million tax-free. I mean, if you just paid the taxes on it up front. And you got all these homeless people out here. You got people don't have no place to stay. And a person can, and this is just one. I mean, that don't, not to mention guys is making $20-30 million a year and even $5-10 million a year. That's just, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. I'm not faulting them now. If you go pay you go pay me $500 million a year, trust me, I'm gonna take it. I ain't gonna sell my soul for it, but I'm gonna take the money.
Yeah, it's a legal job. You're right, man. Like you're saying, homeless people. I even think like firemen, policemen, them guys, teachers should get, you know, better. I think Arizona is one of the lowest paying states for salaries for teachers. So our education system here isn't great. To me, I mean, the government and them should be putting more money in there. That way you get good teachers, man. We're trying to raise our kids right. We're trying to, you know, give them a good education, you know.
And then, you know, we take it one step farther. We go out of your 50 states here in the United States, I want to say at least 30 of those states, the highest paid person in that state is the college basketball or college football coach at one of the universities.
Yeah, because they're a state employee, so they're the highest paid employee for the state,
Ain't that something? I mean, that's what we come to. And now we're just getting into what players are allowed to make money off their image. So what kind of money was being made?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, to me, I like that part of it. If the players, I mean, if the coach, the team is going to make money off of you, you should be able to make money off yourself too. You know what I mean?
Well, I've been for that all the time. My only thing,
not they were playing for nothing.
My only thing is the years and years that went by when they wouldn't get no money. And the system made money off of them, but they weren't getting paid. So, I mean, how do you compensate those players? Another show, another time. But then I come to find out that some of these high-end baseball, college baseball programs, the assistant coaches and the pitching coaches are making $200,000-$300,000 a year.
Yeah. Hey, the money got to trickle down.
It's not getting to the people that need it. And then we say we're in a recession. Yeah right. Okay. Well, Juan, we got the $70 million man, Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani, the $70 million man.
Hey, Maiden, you think he's going to give you an interview now?
No, he ain't giving no interviews. You know, when the Angels came to town, I saw him in his locker. I didn't go ask for an interview. One of the reporters one of the people I do know, he did, and he said it on his show, so I'm going to repeat what he said. He went over and asked his interpreter for an interview, and they told him that he don't do interviews with the visiting media. He said, well, he's one of the premier stars of the game, and he don't do interviews.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's bad. And then the only time that he talks to the media, to my understanding, is after he has pitched a game. Major League rules says that a pitcher that pitches that particular game has to make himself available within 10 minutes after the game to the media. So, you know, how can you make $700 million a year and you don't talk to the media?
Right, right. I don't know. That's hard, man.
You don't at least say hi?
Yeah, yeah.
70 million.
Yeah, the only interviews I've really seen with him is when he's on like major networks, and it's few and far between, you know.
And those are pre-scheduled and they pre-arranged, so you don't just walk up to them. You know, if you wanted to bait your network, yeah, you go up to them and say, "I'm gonna set up a point in time to do an interview." Yeah, yeah, Mr.
Shohei Ohtani,
Mr. 70 million, the $70 million man. I'm going when the Dodgers come to town. I'm going to the game. I might come to the Dodgers home opener, and I'm going to assist him give me an interview. I'm going to camp outside his locker so you don't give me an interview. I'm not moving.
Sit in a seat. You can sit in a seat, but you ain't moving me.
No.
Until you give me my interview.
Security moved me out of there real quick. That ain't happening. But hey, I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him. I just, once again, all I know is I cannot pay you $1 million if I don't have $1 million.
Yeah,
they got 25 players on the team. I mean, you say the Dodgers were how much?
I think it was $4.8 billion.
$4.8 billion.
Yeah.
Well, Juan, where you gonna own a team?
Hey, we got to own one here pretty soon. We might own one in the developmental league, but man, imagine getting on one of them team, one of the ownership branches, man. Because back, imagine made in 15, 20 years ago. Some of these franchises were only worth $100 million, $200 million, you know, which seems still like a lot, but compared to what they are now, that's nothing. You know, like Michael Jordan, I think he bought the Wizards for $275 million, and he recently sold them for like $2 billion or something. He bought them like 15 years ago.
So correct yourself, about 30 years ago, a team sold for $20 million. I think the White Sox owners brought the White Sox for $20 million, and I think the Ricketts brought the Cubs. Well, they was up there by the time the Cubs sold, but one while the Cubs was on the mark for like $25 million.
Yeah, exactly. And now they're worth over $4 billion?
Well,
that's a great evaluation. That's a great increase on your revenue and everything.
Yeah, but a lot of that, because TV has come into that, a lot of that's TV revenue that's paying for it. The marketing from TV.
Yeah.
And radio advertisement.
Yeah.
You know, the market makes a difference. I mean, you go to Braves game and you're still getting playoff tickets for $25, $30 to sit in the nosebleed seat. Let the Cubs get in the playoff, you ain't getting a ticket for under $100. Under $100, and that's
nosebleed.
Well, I take that back, because folks pay $300-$400 to sit in the bleachers at Wrigley Field. They don't want to sit in around 40 yards. I go to the game. and I'm sitting in the stands. I got to be somewhere between home plate and third and first base side on the lower levels. Now, folks will pay big money to sit in the bleachers and watch the game at Wrigley Field. Won't happen.
Yeah, the Cubs are notorious for that. It's just like a party scene. But yeah, the bleacher seats are pretty expensive out there. Imagine this, Maiden. So like we're talking about markets, the Diamondbacks were just in the World Series this past year. In the League Championship Series, the Diamondbacks lost their first two games to the Phillies. So when they came back here in Philadelphia, they came here to Arizona for game three. They put the game kind of early, like 2 o'clock, 2:15. Some tickets were selling for only $14. This is the League Championship Series. The winner goes to the World Series. And because they didn't have a real big backing and the time of the game, and then they were down 2-0, there were some tickets going for $14, like on the secondary market.
And you could not get a ticket for a Cubs playoff game for under $2,000-$3,000.
Yeah, exactly. Let alone the League Championship Series that leads up to the World Series. Like, that's what else do you support a team? You know,
markets make a difference, but you know, the bottom line, TV revenue brings in the same way with the NCAA tournament. TV revenue brings in millions of dollars to those teams that win the championship and make it to the NCAA tournament. So, TV has changed the game for the better or for the worse.
Yeah, definitely.
And the common fans, you will be limited to watch the games on TV soon because you ain't gonna be able to afford it.
We're going to be able to afford it. You got one ticket a year.
That's it. With the coach, we're 1-1. We're talking the $70 million man. That's what this show was about today. $70 million. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. I tell you what, I love to be his kids. I love to be his kids. I'm a Ferrari on Monday, a Bentley on Sunday, a Benz on Saturday. I'm going to have a car for every day in the month. Every day in the year, and after I drive it one time, I'm getting a new one. I ain't gonna drive no car twice.
Yep.
And all the gear, I guess you have his own new brand, his own brand of shoes too. He ain't buying no Air Jordans, huh?
No, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if he has his own deal yet, but I mean, I'm sure that's coming up next.
He just go put 70 on his. Like Jordan had the Air sign, the Nike sign. He just go put 70 on his, and he gonna be the man. Can't say no more. Hey, yes, brother, ready to go. Way to go.
You the man. He set the market.
Well, the scary part about it, who's gonna come and topple?
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about that the other day. I'm like, man, the next thing that tops him has to be like $1 billion. Like, who, you know, you're so close to it. It's got to be, you know, you can't be 800 million. I'll be like, give me the billion. That's just crazy, though.
Coaches in the agent business, all you up and coming ball players, I'll get you $701
get your
million.
Dollars.
Stick with me. Stick with me and Wani Wan. We'll get you there. Till our next show, the Crew 247 Talking Sports. We just had a different perspective of sports. So you want to hear something to keep you on the edge of your seat, tune in. Peace out till next week.
Peace.
Out of here.